Welcome to today's episode of Neural Pathways, where your neuroscience degree can take you, presented to you by Healthy Brains, Healthy Lives at McGill University. I'm your host, Rana Gafuri, and I'm here with McGill alumni to help provide some inspiration on what to do after your graduate studies in neuroscience. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Benjamin DeLeaner. Benjamin completed his postdoc at McGill at the Montreal Neurological Institute in 2019 after obtaining a PhD in biomedical engineering from the École Polytechnique in Montreal. He is now an assistant professor of biomedical engineering at École Polytechnique, as well as a co-founder of Crystal Labs. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. That's a real pleasure. So I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Computer Engineering and Software Engineering, and I'm affiliated as well with the Institute of Biomedical Engineering and with the Research Center of CHU Saint-Justine. So basically, my role at Polytechnique is to, of course, teach, but also do research. And my focus on research is working on imaging, so brain and spinal cord imaging, and dedicated with a little bit more focus on pediatric imaging, so children, neonates, infant.
So you're also affiliated with Crystal Labs as a co-founder?
Yeah, absolutely. So Crystal Labs, it's I can tell you the whole story, but it's completely different. That's a company that is working on developing technologies for agriculture. So developing sensors for measuring nutrients directly in the soil. And so that's relatively different from my background, but in the back, that's all related, you know.
So you have your role in academia, and then this is a non-academic position.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
And how did you go about getting these two very different roles?
That's a good question. I think we can go back way back in my master for answering that question. So I started my academic career doing a master, a double diploma actually, between Université Libre de Bruxelles in Belgium and Polytechnique. And I was doing my master with Professor Samuel Kadouri at Polytechnique, working on spinal cord imaging, trying to segment the spinal cord. So that's back in the days, and that's not so far actually, that's 7 years ago. There was not a lot of tools for spinal cord imaging. A lot of things for brain imaging. It was difficult to acquire images, and that's the reason why there was not a lot of tools to analyze them. And so I jumped into that, developing tools for spinal cord imaging, because we were getting better at getting good images of the spinal cord. Working for 2 years there, and then at the end of my master, I realized that that was a good opportunity to create a community in spinal cord imaging. So I started a PhD at Polytechnique in another department with Professor Julien Cohen-Adat, who was an expert in spinal cord imaging, and he was my co-supervisor for my master. And continuing that development, working on spinal cord imaging, whatever was needed, we developed tools for that. And we created this package, this software that is called the Spinal Cord Toolbox. That's basically a full open source, comprehensive open source software that gives you everything that you need for spinal cord MR analysis. You know, that has been a long journey. You know, I was kind of sick of developing tools for
spinal cord imaging. Yeah.
And I'll come back to that later, but you know, doing your PhD, going through comprehensive exam, trying to always be creative on the one topic that you have, that's pretty demanding. And so at the time, I needed some brain ventilation. I was not actually working on the brain, spinal cord, but let's say I needed spinal cord ventilation. And so I was looking for other things to do. I don't know if someone advised me to do that, or I just needed it and I did it. I got engaged into an organization that is called Polyfab, that was a fab lab at Polytechnique. So it started, I think, 3 years ago, and that's I was like mid-PhD. And that's basically a fab lab, so that's a fabrication laboratory, where that's a community where you have machines and then you learn how to use them for your own projects, for your PhD project or master project if you need them. But basically that's a tool sharing community.
So they train you on how to use these
machines. Yeah, exactly. Like every machine that you need, actually, like a laser,
and
a cutter.
And then you can put that towards your project.
Yeah, you can use that for like a 3D printer. you have like your different 3D printers and you learn how to use it for your own projects. That's not someone that does it for you, that's you learning how to do it. And so I was engaged in that in the creation of the Fab Lab. And you know, I'm a computer scientist. I do computing stuff. I don't use my hands other than on a keyboard. And so I was very, very happy to do something with my hands. And that was a kind of a brain ventilation kind of activity.
Just something new from...
Yeah, something new. Something to like use my hands, and then my brain was acting in the background for finishing my PhD. So that was a great thing to do. And during that time, I was also exploring other things, like volunteering for nonprofits in culture and in neurotechnologies. There is a great community that is called NeuroTechX in Montreal. It started at the same time as I was working on the Fab Lab. And I was also doing the open doors for the Biomedical Institute. And everything connected, you know. So I was doing the open doors for Polytechnique with the material that I received from NeuroTechX. And then one thing led to another. I founded a student club on neurotechnologies at Polytechnique that was participating to the competition from NeuroTechX. And then we were using the Fab Lab to build our tools.
Okay, yeah. So it all came together.
Yeah, it all came together. So I think in my mind, my mind started working on, okay, what can I do that is not research focused? I started thinking about what can I do after my PhD. And at the same time as working with one of my colleagues at PolyFab, we were trying to work on robots. So, again, something completely different from spinal cord imaging, but I needed that. And by the way, I did great in my PhD and I published a lot, but I think that's because I did a lot of things
when you're
aside.
Doing the same thing for a long time, sometimes you just need to...
Ventilation.
Ventilation's a good word, yeah. I'm going to use that.
So during what we were doing at the... So I was animating, so I was doing formation at the Fab Lab, and my colleague was there as well. And we were working in the same lab, working on brain and spinal cord imaging, and then thinking about doing something else, and then developing robots and trying to do just to try something new. We ended up developing a robotic garden in the library of Polytechnique. And it was really just to... we were very bad gardeners. Very, very bad. But it was...
I bought like a bunch of plants last year when I moved into my apartment and I killed them all. So definitely relate to that.
So you know, we are engineers. We try to create robots to that.
To do what you're bad at.
The garden was terrible, but it's the fault of the robot, not our fault. definitely. But it was a great experience of trying to develop something new as a technological vitrine, basically. So having something that people can see, a garden at Polytechnique in the library, that's good. And then we realized that what we developed for the robot that was just a side project was actually something that could provide impact into the agricultural sector. And then building on that, we participated to a lot of these events and a lot of these entrepreneurial programs to learn if our idea was good or not, and to learn what is entrepreneurship and creating a company. And actually, again, one thing led to another. We started a company, we recruited a bunch of people, got a few grants for developing the ID, a few partners, and then the company is up and running. We are researchers, you know, I love research, but I didn't know why I love research. At the end of my PhD, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So that's why we're here.
That's why we're here, exactly.
So I loved developing tools for imaging. I think biomedical domain is great because you have the potential to have a great impact on people. That's the reason I'm in this field. But at the end of my PhD, I realized that I haven't seen any of the patients I was working on a lot of diseases, like developing tools to do something for disease.
Right,
for,
you were
for
too
patients.
Far detached from
very,
the actual
yeah,
issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was very far from that. And then at the time, so company aside, I needed something to connect myself to research a little bit more, because for me, I was just developing tools. So I'm an engineer, that's okay. But in biomedical field, I needed something to connect.
It helps when you see what you're doing it for. Right?
Exactly. And so there I had an opportunity to start a postdoc with Dr. Julien Doyon here at the MNI, working on spinal cord imaging, but for a population of people with Parkinson's disease. It was a great opportunity because for that project, nobody has done that before. And I had the opportunity to do everything myself. That was amazing because we had to do a lot of literature review, do a lot of grants application, applying for the HBHL fellowship. Yeah. That's why I was there. Doing the ethics from the start. And then recruiting patients, and again, we were very lucky because we got a lot of help from other groups at McGill to do that. And then doing the acquisition with the patient, and I every scan that we had, or almost every scan, I sat with them and I was able to talk to them. And you're connecting with these people, that was great. And that reconciliated me with research.
Right. Okay. It gives you a better sense of why you're putting in
Absolutely.
All this work and what you're actually yeah. your like end goal to achieve is, right?
So I would say that at the end of my PhD, if you asked me if I wanted to do academia, I would say no.
Right.
At the end of, oh well, not at the end of my postdoc, because during my postdoc, I was considering it. And that's where I saw an opportunity at Polytechnic for a faculty job, and I applied. I was very, very lucky because I got in directly. So, yeah, I was very lucky. So then I became a professor, creating a new research program.
So how would you say your career goals changed across your studies?
Approximately every 6 months it changed. Yeah, you know, you don't know where you're going. I think my vision was just to open doors. You don't know if you're going to like something until you try. So you don't go into academia and say that's my path. You don't know what it is. So I'm trying actually right now. What if I don't like being a professor? I like it so far. but what if I don't like it? You know, I'm just opening doors. I'm during my PhD. I opened so many doors. I was working for nonprofits, with communities, international or not, working as a teaching assistant, teaching classes, just to see what I do like, what I don't like, and I saw a lot of things. You know, do I like being a professor? It's like back in the day, I don't know. I don't know what is a professor. What does do a professor? I saw my supervisor at the time doing grant application all the time. I was like, yeah, it doesn't sound like great.
That.
And you know what? I did so many grant application for the company that was not in the same field. And I realized that I really loved starting projects and looking for funds and team and building something and applying for grants. Actually, I like that. And
when you're passionate about the project.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I realized, yeah, well, that's actually the job of a professor. And I like research and I like grant application so far. So why not? Why not try?
Right. How would you say your roles, and you mentioned a lot of extracurriculars, how do you think that these helped you develop skills for your careers?
We talk a lot about hard skills, soft skills. At the end, you need a bunch of things that you like to do, just making sure that you have enough skills to do your job in a way that you like it. And for example, research, communication is one of the skills that you have to learn, and sometimes the hard way. For myself, I pushed myself outside just to say I need to present well. I need to try to present and fail to present. You know, I one time I presented something for the PolyFab. You know, this 180 seconds presentation, and I was so ready. And I forgot.
The 3 minutes.
Yeah, the 3 minutes. Yeah, it was not for my thesis. I blanked at the middle of it. I completely forgot what I was supposed to tell. And I laughed. I was like, yeah, I forgot. And it was okay, you know, I was just developing skills and failing and then successing. And then I think now I'm communicating well. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing for everything. You just need to learn, well, sometimes the hard way, but there is a lot of skills that you need for the future job. And yeah.
Just put yourself in opportunities where you'll
absolutely
develop those things. So finally, what is the number one piece of advice that you would give yourself if you could go back to when you were a trainee?
Going back to ventilation.
No more spinal cord.
I think that's really important to stay sane. So for any job, I would actually give the same advice. Try to be passionate about what you do. If you don't have passion for what you do every day, doing your work hours, well, change. That's the best advice I can give you. If you are passionate, try to relax. Try to do something else as well. Being passionate for your job, that's great, but try also to ventilate your brain a little bit. That's going to improve your creativity. That's going to improve your health. Just has a variety of activities that you can do, and you're going to be more passionate about your job as well.
So brain ventilation is a great takeaway.
Brain and spinal cord ventilation, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. And if you want to learn more about Dr. Benjamin DeLiener, check out the Neural Pathways webpage for resources. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Neural Pathways. This podcast is presented by Healthy Brains, Healthy Lives. So if you want more information, check out our website, mcgill.ca/HBHL, and follow HBHL on Twitter at @HBHLMcGill. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your platform of choice so you don't miss the next episode. Catch you next time.